I want to say something personal to President Trump. Hey guys, I want to say something for President Trump personally. Guys, I want to say something personal for President Trump. God bless you. We love you, Mr. President. We love the First Lady. And we're going to fight and win those two seats and make sure you get a fair, square deal in the state of Georgia. God bless you, Mr. President.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Thank you.
First things for Sunday, December 6th, Donald Trump. In Georgia, David Domke.
What were they yelling, Steve?
Fight for Trump.
Yep. And they were yelling it over and over and over again. And they started yelling it when two particular people were on the stage. And they were David Perdue and Kelly Loeffler, the two incumbent Republican senators who are running in these Senate runoff elections. The message was to them and to America, fight for Trump. Today.
Yeah. And today, David, that was David Perdue right there too, right? Just to say he was on stage at the beginning.
Right. They didn't stop. They didn't quiet down for David Perdue. This was not about Perdue. This was all about Trump. So I want to talk about it being all about Trump today. And I also want to talk about what it means for us. That was Donald Trump's rally yesterday, last night in Valdosta, Georgia, which is down in the southern rural part of Georgia, just north of the Florida state line. And every rally that Trump does and has done since he became a candidate for president is about Donald Trump. It's about this intense connection that he has with his supporters. And that intense connection is not dissipating, Steve Scheer. It is not evaporating. God knows it might even be escalating.
It feels like it.
Exactly, as they see and believe that he has been a victim and a persecution. Persecuted. There is a moment later in the, you can pick out so many different moments in a Trump rally of things he says, but there's a moment later where he says that we're all victims, all of us, we're all victims. And he's talking about voting, that they've been cheated out of this election. But that essence, that terminology, we're all victims, is the essence of the Trump grievance love fest, the cult of Trump. It is the essence of it. We're all victims.
Yeah, it's also the essence of his campaign and the essence of his appeal, I'm afraid.
It is. And so what we have here, of course, with the whole election scenario is him constructing the ultimate victim, the ultimate oppression. He started, of course, last night with, I won Georgia and I won Florida and I won all these other states. Goes on later to list, I won Wisconsin, I won Michigan, I won Pennsylvania. If none of that's true, it is akin to a person in a relationship saying that I loved you, I did everything for you, and you did not care about me. You did not give me attention. You did not give me the love. When in reality, the person saying that was the one who was, the perpetrator of the wrongs in the relationship. But there's no way in the world you're ever going to convince them of that. And so they have seized this victim status at its apex in this election. That's what this election has become, is the apex of the Trump cult victim. Hey, good morning. the Trump victim apex. I have to say to all of us that the escalation is real. The system itself legally is holding, and I'm very confident that our system is going to transfer power to Joe Biden in terms of the legal and electoral implications for this. But the cultural, the psychological dynamics between Donald Trump and his followers in the cult of Trump is escalating, and that has a different set of implications for us as a society that really are uncharted and also dangerous, very dangerous.
Well, you're talking about, this is my question. I know you can't answer it, but we can talk about it for a minute. It's between now and January 20th that most concerns me. And the danger is that he is still president. He still can command the military. So he can still use his amazing power that the president has to, what's your worst case scenario? Mine, of course, is that he surrounds the White House with the military people and says, I'm still president and nothing you can do will change it. And are the military leaders going to follow him? I'm sure he's got enough that will.
Sure. Let's go through the unfolding situation here. So the first line of aggression on his part was to claim victory and to get the media and others to accept that he had won, and then to get to win in the court of public opinion. He did not get the media to say he won, and he didn't get that outcome. And eventually, they actually declared Joe Biden to be the victor because he is. So his first line of aggression failed. His second line of aggression was to get the counts thrown out by the courts, to get them thrown away because of, he said, fraud. Well, that line has failed because there's no evidence of this at all. Every time they've been asked to provide evidence in every state court, they've been laughed out of court. They've been mocked out of court. So his second line of aggression has failed. His third line is now trying to get state legislatures to step in under the argument that the Constitution of the United States invests in legislatures the power over elections. That is a line of a constitutional argument that has arisen substantially in the last 2 months as a conservative Trumpian line of argument. It will be the one that will be advanced at the Supreme Court this week. So this is his third line of aggression, to try to get the legislatures to overrule the votes. The votes have been counted. He can't win on that front anymore. So now you got to get the legislature to say, we're going to throw out those votes. He's going to lose on that front. Yesterday at the rally, there were many people who were interviewed who said that they think he's going to win at the Supreme Court. He is not going to win at the Supreme Court. So he's going to lose there. So what's the fourth line? Then the fourth line is to somehow get Congress to block the electors that will come to Congress and certify the Electoral College. That's his fourth line. He will turn to that substantially. Mo Brooks in Alabama, he's his Congress member, has already said that he will challenge the results when they come to the House. But he then needs somebody in the Senate to agree with him. And at that point, there's only a discussion. Then there'll be a vote on whether to accept the results. And all indications are that enough Republicans will go along with that and affirm the results. That happens in early January. I believe it's January 6th, I think, the day after Georgia, the results in Georgia. Those are his lines. These are his lines. What's after that, Steve? This is what your question was. What's the worst case scenario? What's after that? There is nothing after that except military action. There is nothing after that except for military action. So I'm not ruling anything out at this point. I believe we're moving through the process. I believe that the system is holding. And I also see a line like on a graph that's going up, and the over the x-axis, which goes across the bottom of the graph, is time. Over time, like each day is a metric to the right. And the y-axis is escalation of grievances. And the line is going up at a perfect 45 degree angle. Every day to the right is matched by a click in escalation upwards.
Yeah,
so it's going up at this angle.
It looks like the COVID graph.
Sure. Yeah, it does. Right. It's
a pandemic.
Okay. I don't think I can top that metaphor right there, Steve. It does. So that escalation is enormous. Well, what he wants us to do is to quit. Is to quit and to walk away and to let him win. This has been what he has done his entire adult life. Is beat down those who disagree with them, wear them down, and then eventually pay them to go away. Somehow he thinks that that's going to work here because he's learned that method. He has lived and learned that method. I believe, I am confident in our system. What I think is an unknown at this time is how we as a society respond to that escalation. It could be very real violence. It could just be outright unacceptance of Biden and marches in the street, not by progressives, but by conservatives. It could be a coup, as you're saying. What's the response to that escalation? We've never had this before, so I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, we can look at other countries and how dictators have responded. And, you know, it's never good. It's never been good. I mean, we have had 20 years of looking at revolutions in the street, right? Since the fall of the wall. And except for a few instances in Europe where the transition worked, Germany, because there was a state there, Poland for a while, right? We've had some transitions to away from despotism, but and even in those instances, they went through the steps of the existing systems, right? Even Gorbachev and what he did in the Soviet Union, right? They did it through the legalistic mechanisms, but everywhere else we've had these sorts of crazy towns. Egypt, for example, China, right? They just asserted their authority and then justified it later in some way.
So what's your one succinct here? What's your one thought why that's going to happen here and it's going to be unstoppable? And then what's your one thought about how it's not going to happen here? So first, why you think that's going to happen here and it's going to end badly, like horribly, existentially badly for our democracy.
You know, I scrolled down this Twitter feed that you sent, that you included in this clip you sent, and there's a really interesting one from an anti-Trump person, which is a, I think people have seen this meme before, and it's a listing of what happens. Criticism of the leader is characterized as persecution. No matter how harmful the leader's behavior is justified. Adherents are obsessed with the leader. The leader has the executive franchise on truth. So my worst case scenario is that enough people, if you look down this Twitter feed, and I know they're his people, but enough people are out there that sincerely and honestly hold in their hearts that, you know, that their America is being stolen from them and that they have to fight, that they're the patriots. And so I guess the worst case scenario for me is that they take to the streets and take to the streets around the country and start asserting their power. And they have the weapons.
That's the worst case scenario, is like that outcome. I agree with that. The method that they would get there, you're saying, the method, the way they'd get there would be they would mobilize and use their weaponry.
Yeah. And they are mobilized and they are organized. We know that. I don't think they're a majority, but, you know, weapons are weapons. And then the question is, what does the military do? And that's where I just, you know, in my head, I can't believe military people will follow a leader who is up, you know, they swore an oath to the Constitution. So if they believe that the Constitution is what's being stolen from them, they could justify their actions as well and take his efforts to move into the streets.
Okay, so the method that says that we're existentially moving towards destruction is that people believe in their hearts that Donald Trump is being robbed and that their America is being stolen, and they are going to fight with their weaponry for this, and that violence will crescendo in such significant ways that it will lead to a eventual hold on power by Donald Trump, or just a destruction of our society.
Yeah, that's the worst case. Yeah, that's the worst case.
Right, that's the worst case. We can get to the worst case a variety of ways. Another method could be that people will just acquiesce. That can be another method. Okay, your method is the violence overcomes and takes over. Okay, what's the method by which you think we don't get there? That in fact this all plays out okay.
There's two. One is that people go to the streets and put their bodies on the line, there's enough of them that the people there realize they're shooting at their family members and their neighbors. I still don't know what the military does, because the military's in a quandary. But the other method is that this is all a long con, and that Trumpism, that the military doesn't follow through, that enough Republicans in Congress say, you know, there are levers they could pull, right? I sure don't see Vice President Pence wanting to destroy the nation in the same way. So what if Pence were put in charge, right? There's legal methods that they could undermine Trump in the next 6-9 months. I don't know that the Republicans are going to do that, though. They sure haven't stepped up yet. But the other thing is that it's a long con, and that he declares he's going to run for president on January 20th, and he continues Trumpism and continues to make his money and galvanize his supporters. And then we just have a very, very rough and rocky transition and Biden administration. I mean, very rough, rougher than we've seen in the past.
Sure. The method on that side to me is requires Republicans to step forward. I agree with you that's the method that wins and escorts Trump out of the White House and holds our democracy, is post Electoral College votes, December 14th in the Congress, when the electoral voters cast their votes. This is not when Congress certifies, that comes in January, but the Electoral College votes on December 14th, that post that Republicans en masse say, this is it, it's over. And we love our president, that's what we'll have to say. We love our president, and he is our best pal and our leader, but unfortunately, he lost. And we're moving forward. To me, that is the methodology by which we move through this escalation. I believe, again, the legal system is moving along and is okay. This is the politics of it. I believe that's how it gets done. I believe there are enough Republicans that will do that and will put their careers on the line to say that. I do not think there is a majority. I do not think it's even probably close to a majority. But I think it's enough who will do that. And I believe that they will push and will make it happen.
Why
I believe that.
Why do you think that the Supreme Court will turn against Trump? And what do you think give me your over under of what the vote will be.
Okay, so today's podcast is about Fight for Trump and the push that his followers are demanding from right now David Perdue and Kelly Loeffler, but they're making the argument for everybody who believes in Trump needs to fight.
Yeah, well, he's got six members on the Supreme Court that might believe that.
Exactly. So here's what I think happens on the court. The constitutional argument that is going to be advanced, it's the only one the Supreme Court's going to give merit to, is that the state legislatures make decisions around elections, around the methodology of elections. And the argument that will be made by Trump's, and I put this word in quotes, lawyers, is that in enough of these key states, there were just changes made to the election methods that were not voted upon and installed by the state legislature. Okay. They're going to say that in Pennsylvania, in Arizona, in Georgia, and they're going to say that those changes were put into place by other methods, not non-legal methods, but methods that do not hold up under the Constitution. All the changes that were put into place, like no excuse absentee balloting, installing drop boxes, waiving signature requirements, drive up voting in Texas, those were all, the argument will be that those were put into place by agreements between governors and election officials in the state, that's how those got created. That is actually factually correct. That is how those got created. This is why I believe this is the line of argument that will be brought to the court, to the Supreme Court, and will be heard in the Supreme Court. All the other stuff about voting machines, about fraudulent signatures, ballots, rerun, all that stuff will not be given the light of the day by the court, because no other courts have even heard any evidence yet to support all that. But the constitutional argument that is the state legislatures make these decisions, and there is that language in the U.S. Constitution, that state legislatures will determine the methods of elections. On that matter, there is going to be some people on the court that are going to uphold this. They will uphold it. I believe that Alito will uphold it. I believe that Kavanaugh will uphold it. I do not believe the three liberal justices will, nor do I think John Roberts will. So where do you get the five then? Oh, I'm sorry, Thomas, of course. Thomas is going to, of course, uphold it. So you start on the conservative side with Thomas, Alito, and Kavanaugh. Where is Coney Barrett and where is Gorsuch? Where are they going to come down? I believe that one of them will get to five on the liberal side. I believe that one of them will, and it might be Gorsuch. Okay? It might be Gorsuch. Gorsuch has been fairly interesting. So I don't think that they're going to get to, hey, Steph, good morning. I don't think you're going to get the five conservative votes. I also think that you might get it to 7-2 liberal in the interest of society, because they might declare that these laws were all put into place months, in some cases more than a year ago, and nobody brought the case at that time. That's what the Pennsylvania State Supreme Court said was, look, you could have contested these laws at the time they were put into place. You didn't. You're now bringing it now, and you have lost your window to do that. I think that the court might, on its whole, not even accept the whole case on the basis of that. Like, hey, look, you can't bring this now. So I think we get to five somewhere. We might get to seven on the Supreme Court rejecting it if the case gets taken up. I also could see the court not even taking the case up, saying you had your window of opportunities, we're not going to consider it now. So why would they do that? Why would the conservative justices even get the five for the Democrats if they get the five, or maybe even seven, or not even decide to take it up? Because I believe that they understand that what we are doing here is a theft and a grab. I believe that they see it, they understand that in a way that the radical mob does not. They all agree with Trump. They all want to support Trump, but they won't buy the conspiracy stuff. That's my take.
I uh, But they are going to, what about that whole, I'm an originalist and here's what the language says, and I don't deviate from what the language says of the Constitution.
Right. That's to me, right. That's where the argument might get traction to get heard. But I believe that the methodology of allowing states to control elections, it would be so unprecedented for the Supreme Court to throw the results into the state legislature. That is not what they decided in 2000 in Florida. That was a different thing. This would be to throw the results entirely into state legislatures and to overrule the popular vote. That would be a coup, Steve Scherer. That would be a coup. All right. That would be a bloodless coup. I don't think the Supreme Court will do that. Am I 100% certain of it?
No.
No. Okay. But that's my take on it. Why do you think they'll get there?
Get to the Supreme Court?
No. Why do you think you think it's because of the originalist argument that will carry the day?
I think they will use that. I mean, the originalist argument has always been sort of questionable to me because they seem to pick and choose. But yes, I can see that. Yes. They will look and they say, look, this is what the words say. All this other stuff you're talking about doesn't matter. I don't think they'll, windows. If it's about democracy, then we have to always have the window open, they'll say. And they could go that way. I also think that it may not matter. You know, if the court rules against them, that's just one more bit of evidence that the system is rigged.
Sure. And that produces the outcome of what we do societally, how people respond with violence or not, and how people respond to the violence, that to me is just unknown, completely unknown. What happens politically in that scenario, though, is definitive to me, that if the court rules against them, then that's the end. I believe that there are Republicans in Congress, a majority at this point, who say that's the end. So politically, I believe that we have these lines coming up to kind of wrap up this episode. We have the December 14th Electoral College electors votes. What will Republicans do after that? That will tell us a lot politically. Then we have January 6th, the congressional affirmation of the votes. That's like the next huge, huge moment where the Republicans could say, this is it, it's over. And then somewhere in between those two, I believe, is the Supreme Court. Somewhere in between those two is the Supreme Court. And those three moments along the line are where the method that I think that can hold us together could happen, which is Republicans saying, that's it. We as a group accept these results. Again, we love you, Mr. President, and we're sorry. We would not ever want this to happen, but it has happened. And that handles it politically. Societally, I have no idea, but politically that would happen. So, fight for Trump, Perdue, and Loeffler right now. So let's just watch what happens in the next couple of days in Georgia. If Perdue and Loeffler don't do the one thing that they're being told to do by the Trump followers, and which is to call for a special session of the state legislature in Georgia in order to get that legislature to overturn results. If they don't issue that call for that and push the governor on that point, that is going to be unacceptable to Trumpians, because they know, like, that's the final thing they've got in the state. Right now, the president has been pushing the governor on this tremendously to call a state legislature session, but Perdue and Loeffler have not. That's when the crowd says, fight for Trump, that's what they're talking about. So I expect Loeffler and Perdue will do this. In fact, maybe Loeffler will do it tonight. Tonight is the debate between her and Warnock, right? Maybe she'll do it tonight. That's the evidence we're going to see of whether she capitulates, which she will.
All right. And so then they do it. And then that means that Brian Kemp then has to decide where his place is in society and history.
That's right. Kemp has to decide. Kemp so far has said, I am not going to do it. He has said it. So if he changes his mind, it's a change. It's not like I reached the conclusion and I have been thinking about it and I'm going to do it. No, it's a change. It's a change. He has said he won't do it, and it's a change. So, you know, unfortunately, we know history too often comes down to a person. A person. Let's go.